as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. His laqab amongst the Ummah is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. And his kitab is referred to as Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitab Allah Ta'ala. That he himself is the leader of all hadith scholars, and he is the Amir, and his kitab Sahih al-Bukhari is the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's kunyat was Abu Abdullah, and his name is Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin Al-Mughira. So his father's name is Ismail, his name is Muhammad, his father's name is Ismail, his grandfather's name is Ibrahim, and his great grandfather's name is Al-Mughira. And then after that, his grandfather's grandfather, or you can say great-grandfather's father, is known famously as Bardizba. This is the most common opinion. Imam Tajuddin As-Subki, rahmatullahi alayhi, in Tabaqat al-Shafi'iyyah, has mentioned another opinion, that is Badidh Bih, Ba Dhal, the second Dhal as well, the first Dhal with a Kasra, and Badidh Bih, the second Ba with a Kasra and then a Ha, Badidh Bih. The most common name of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's grandfather's grandfather is Bardizba. Al-Ju'fi al-Bukhari. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is famously known as Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and the reason why he is referred to as Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is he's from Bukhara. Geographically, in today's geographical terms, Bukhara is a city within Uzbekistan. Situated in Uzbekistan, in those days it was approximately to take 7 days to travel from Samarkand to Bukhara. Bukhara was conquered in the year 90 after Hijrah, as it is mentioned in Tariq al-Tabari and Qal of Ibn al-Athir al-Jazari rahmatullahi alayhima. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, so his name is Muhammad, his father Ismail, grandfather Ibrahim, and great-grandfather Al-Mughira. And his father Bardizba. Bardizba is a Farsi Persian word, and it means kashtkar, farmer. So he must have been a farmer, and for this reason, he is called Bardizba. In the Bukharan or Persian language, it's referred to as Bardizba. Bardizba was a Zoroastrian Majusi and was not a Muslim. His son, Al-Mughira, who is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, his great-grandfather, was the first to accept Islam from their forefathers. and he accepted Islam at the hands of the governor of Bukhara of that time. The governor of Bukhara, the Amir of Bukhara at that time was Yaman bin Akhnas al-Ju'fi. Yaman bin Akhnas al-Ju'fi. This person, Yaman bin Akhnas, was from an Arab background, and he was from, as we can see from the name, Yaman bin Akhnas al-Ju'fi. The reason why he's referred to as al-Ju'fi is the name of the tribe that he belongs to, the Arab tribe. The tribe is known as Qabila Ju'fi bin Sa'd al-Ashira. Qabila Ju'fi bin Sa'd al-Ashira, as is mentioned in Umdat al-Qari, Allama Aini Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So the Qabila, the tribe was known as Ju'fi bin Sa'd al-Ashira, and this is why Yaman bin Akhnas is known as Yaman bin Akhnas al-Ju'fi. And Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's great-grandfather al-Mughira accepted Islam at the hands of Yaman bin Akhnas al-Ju'fi, and for this reason he's ascribed to him, his nisbat is towards him. In those days, whoever would accept Islam from the hands of another person, he would be ascribed to him, his nisbat would become towards him. So even though Mughira is not Arab, he's not from an Arab background, they were from Persia, they had a Persian background, from Bukhara. But because Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's great grandfather accepted Islam at the hands of Yaman bin Akhnas al-Ju'fi, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and his father and grandfather and great grandfather all were referred to as al-Ju'fi. And because they were from Bukhara, they were referred to as al-Bukhari. So this is why we find these two nisbats at the end of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's lineage. Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin al-Mughira al-Bardizbah al-Ju'fi al-Bukhari. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's grandfather Ibrahim, there's not much known. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi in Hadi al-Sari mentions that not much has been mentioned with regards to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's grandfather. As for his father, Ismail, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father, it's not very common, and people are unaware that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father was a muhaddith of his time. And he was from the muhaddithin. Hafiz ibn Hibban has mentioned Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father in Kitab al-Thiqat, the famous book on Asma' al-Rijal. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's father, Ismail, was a great personality. He was a student, would you believe, of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi's father was a student of Hammad bin Zayd rahmatullahi alayhi, and also the student of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, as is mentioned by Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi in Muqaddimatul Fath. Imam Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, from amongst his works is a famous kitab. One of the most famous kitabs after Sahih Bukhari is At-Tariq al-Kabir. In At-Tariq al-Kabir, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has collected the biographies, the halat of all the muhaddithin who came before him, and the history of their origins, their towns, their countries. It's a great compilation. A great book. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wrote this book in Medina Munawwara, and it's a very famous book. It's printed. In there, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned his father from amongst the muhaddithin. And he says, وَصَافَهَا أَبِي وَصَافَهَا أَبِي. And my father, Ismail, وصافها أبي ابن المبارك بكلتا يديه. My father Ismail did مصافها and met and did ملاقات with Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak رحمة الله عليه, the great tabi tabi'i and muhaddith and faqih of his time. The words here, وصافها أبي ابن المبارك بكلتا يديه with both hands. We understand from this that it is a tariqah and a adat, and it's always been established, a custom within the Muslims to shake hands, not with one hand, as some do, but with two hands. And it's not a logical reason when some people say that it's one hand is disrespectful, there's more humility in two hands. That's not the case. That may be the case, one of the hikmats and wisdoms and reasons behind it. But the real matter of fact here and the real reason is that it's an established way of our Salaf and pious predecessors. Those who call and those who refer to themselves as the Salaf and the Salafis, who take out one hand and say that it's a bid'ah to shake with two hands, it's through their ignorance that they do this. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is saying that my father would shake hands with two hands. And these are the people who claim to follow Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Sahih al-Bukhari. And not only that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi in Kitab al-Istidhan in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Kitab al-Istidhan in Abwab al-Salam, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned Bab al-Akhd bil-Yad. There's a bab, chapter heading in Sahih al-Bukhari, Bab al-Akhd bil-Yad. When you meet somebody, you take their hand. You take their hand. Hazrat Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi in Fathul Bari has mentioned that for the honest, many narrations of Sahih al-Bukhari, mashallah, the students here are aware of this fact that there are many copies and different narrations of Sahih al-Bukhari. The most famous one is the narration of Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firadri. Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firadri, rahmatullahi alayh. Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firadri, rahmatullahi alayh, narration of Sahih al-Bukhari is the most authentic, most correct and complete version of Sahih al-Bukhari. And there are many reasons for this. Maybe if we have time and time allows us to go into a bit of detail with regards to all the different riwayats, inshallah. But for now, I will suffice by saying that Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in Fathul Bari that from amongst the nine students of Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firabri, from amongst the nine narrators of Sahih al-Bukhari, narrators of Sahih al-Bukhari from Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firabri, only in the narration of two you will find this word Bab al-Akhd bil-Yad, to take one hand. The other seven mentioned Bab al-Akhd bil-Yadayn. Bab al-Akhd bil-Yadayn. This is a chapter heading, a tarjamatul bab in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the majority from nine, seven of the rawis and narrators of the Nuskha of Firadri mentioned Bab al-Akhd bil-Yadayn. And then to support this second narration, which one? Bab al-Akhd bil-Yadayn. To support this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a similar incident. وَصَافَهَا حَمَّادُ بْنُ زَيْدٍ. Again, Hammad ibn Zayd is mentioned. He is also from the Tabi'i Tabi'in. وَصَافَهَا حَمَّادُ بْنُ زَيْدٍ ابْنَ الْمُبَارَكِ بِيَدَيْهِ. وَصَافَهَا حَمَّادُ بْنُ زَيْدٍ ابْنَ الْمُبَارَكِ بِيَدَيْهِ. That Hammad ibn Zayd did musafaha with Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi with two hands. He brings his asar, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, as part of the Tarjamatul Bara. And then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi further strengthens the fact that musafaha and salam should be with two hands. He mentions the hadith of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The famous hadith of Tashahud. Allawani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Tashahud wa kaffi bayna kaffayhi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi ki istidlalat bhi ajeeb hote hain. Kahan se kahan le jate hain. To salam aur musafaha do haathon se sabit kiya aur uske liye hadith laaye tashahud wali. Ki aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne mujhe تشاہد سکھایا وَقَفِّ بَيْنَ قَفَّيْهِ میرا ایک ہاتھ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے دو ہاتھوں کے درمیان تھا آپ سلام کریں گے تو آپ کا ایک ہاتھ سامنے والے کے دو ہاتھ کے درمیان ہوگا اس لئے آپ کا دوسرا ہاتھ باہر ہوگا اور ایک بیچ میں ہوگا دو ہاتھ کے بیچ میں So we were mentioning Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is قول from At-Tariqh al-Kabir. He led us to Fathul Bari, Sahih Bukhari. The actual quote we were mentioning was of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah with regards to his father. We were mentioning that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah's father was from amongst the muhaddithin, not very commonly known. And he said that my father, Ismail, did musafaha with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi with both hands. Imam Qastallani rahmatullah alayhi has also mentioned in Irshad al-Sari that كان أبوه من العلماء والعلم that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah's father was from amongst the pious ulama of his time. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi was very young when his father passed away, extremely young child, and his father passed away, he was brought up by his mother as a yatim. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, his father Ismail was a tajir, and he left behind a great amount of wealth. And before he passed away, he said, ما فيه درهم من حرام أو شبهة ما فيه درهم من حرام أو شبهة that the wealth and my mirath that I am leaving behind, there's not a single dirham of haram or even from doubtful means. You can imagine, this is the wealth that his father left behind, and this was the wealth that was used for the upbringing of this great Imam, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Plays a part for parents to work hard and acquire halal sustenance and rosy, and then feed their children with that halal sustenance, and it plays a very important part in the upbringing of children. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was born as a was born, and then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi's father passed away. He became a yatim. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi was born on 12th or the 13th of Shawwal, either 12th or 13th of Shawwal, on the day of Jumu'ah, after Salatul Jumu'ah, the year 194 Hijri, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi lost his eyesight in his tender age as a child, and his mother would weep and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua all the time. One night, she saw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, and he said to her in the dream, رَبَّ اللَّهُ أَلَبْنِكَ بَسَرَهُ بِكَثْرَةِ دُعَائِكَ that with, because of your dua and with the barakat of your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has restored your son's eyesight. MashaAllah, she wakes up from her sleep. She goes to look at her beloved yatim, orphan son, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. His eyes are wide open and he's seeing and looking everything, and he sees his mother. This happened in his childhood. Allah Subki rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in Tabaqat al-Shafi'iyya that after Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi became a teenager, a young man, and he started traveling around the world, acquiring the ilm of hadith and other ulum, he wouldn't, like others, rest in the afternoon. He wouldn't care whether it's cold or hot or sunny or evening or morning. He would spend all his time traveling in the heat of those times. He would travel, and again, as a young man, he lost his eyesight. But alhamdulillah, this time, some hukama and doctors of that time treated him very effectively, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored his eyesight. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says, وَهِمْتُ حِبْذَ الْحَدِيثُ وَأَنَا فِي الْكُتَّابِ. He says that I was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to memorize hadith when I was in the maktab, learning with small children. They would be learning the alif, ba, ta, and Quran, and I had completed my Quran hifz, and I would be learning hifz. I would be memorizing ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approximately at the age of 10. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi possessed an astounding memory, mashallah, amazing memory. Many stories are mentioned of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and his memory. The most famous is the story that took place between Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, the incident with Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi with his Ustad Muhaddith Dakhili rahmatullahi alayhi. Muhaddith Dakhili rahmatullahi alayhi was giving dars of hadith. All the students, hundreds, were sitting in front and mentioned the hadith, Sufyan and Abi Zubair and Ibrahim. Sufyan and Abi Zubair and Ibrahim. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi objected, put his hand up and said, I disagree. And Muhaddith Dakhili, being a teacher, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi being a young child, rebuked him, ignored him, said, just ignore him, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi again said, Ustad, you made a mistake. A 10-year-old child, 12-year-old child, saying to a great muhaddith of his time, Ustad, you made a mistake, and I will not allow you to go forward. The sanad is wrong. And at first, Muhaddith al-Dakhili rahmatullahi was upset and angry. Who wouldn't be in front of great muhaddithin, and Ustad is being corrected? But when Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi insisted, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi, Muhaddith al-Dakhili rahmatullahi stopped his dars, and Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi said, I think you should look at your original. Muhaddith al-Dakhili rahmatullahi was narrating the hadith through memory. So the narrator of this story is Hashid bin Ismail. Hashid bin Ismail is from the Shuyukh, a teacher of Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firabri. Sheikh of Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firabri, Hashid bin Ismail, colleague of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, he says that Muhaddith al-Dakhili rahmatullahi alayh left the majlis and went to his room adjacent to the dasgah and to the classroom, checked his original and came back, and then said to Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, oh child, what is it then? You tell me first. And Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh replied, it's not Abu Zubair and Ibrahim, but actually it's Az-Zubair ibn Adi and Ibrahim. Az-Zubair ibn Adi and Ibrahim. And that was correct. This is exactly what was mentioned in the original, and Muhaddith al-Dakhili rahmatullahi alayh said to Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, give me your pen, O child. He took Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh's pen and he corrected his notes and said, Sadaqta. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh was asked, how old were you when this incident took place? He said, I was 12 years old. Again, many stories like this have been mentioned Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi would go, Hashib bin Ismail, a class fellow, a colleague of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, says, we were in Basra, and we would be sitting in the company of our ustad, writing a hadith all day long. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi would come with us in the morning all the way till evening. He wouldn't write anything. We would be sitting there with our lead pens and papers and writing hundreds and hundreds of hadith every day. Hundreds of hadith, writing them every day. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi would just sit there, not write anything. After 15 days, when the classmates saw that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is just sitting there idly, he's not wasting his time, wasting his life, what does he come for? After Ustad went, they criticized him, they rebuked him, they told him off. They said, why are you coming for? You're just wasting your time. You're wasting your life. You're not going to write anything. Just go home. Do something else. Why do you come here for? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi really did not want to reveal his secret. He remained quiet. When they went over the top, when they rebuked him and criticized him so much, then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi replied and said to them, "Acha, show me what you've written. How many days have we been coming?" And they said, 15 days. "Show me all your copies, all your notes." And they showed Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi their books and their papers. They had written in 15 days, they had written 15,000 ahadith. 15 days, that's average 1,000 hadith per day. If we have to go through a few hundred hadith ibarat at the end of the year, we know what it's like. Huh? And they used to write 1,000 ahadith in one day. So in 15 days, 15,000 ahadith were written. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi said, "Acha, take your copies back, take your books back and sit down now. Ustad has gone today, now sit. We'll sit from night till morning." And then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi said, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in." And then said, "Acha, the first day, 15 days ago when we came to the majlis of our Ustad in Basra for the first time, the first hadith was this, the second hadith was this, the third hadith was this, the 50th, the 100th, the 200th, the 300th, 1,000 hadith Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, 1,000. Then the second day, the first hadith, the second hadith, the third hadith. All 15,000 hadith Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrated in one sitting from his memory. All 15,000. What they had written, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi had memorized it immediately. This was his memory, amazing memory. To the extent that Hashib bin Ismail rahmatullahi says that we actually began to collect what we had in our books, we have made mistakes, and we were collecting our books and the mistakes in our books through the recitation of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi of those hadith. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi traveled, as we just seen. He traveled to Basra, traveled to many different places. Until the age of 16, he remained in Bukhara. Until the age of 16, he remained in Bukhara. His first journey was for Hajj. His first journey was for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our first journeys towards Hajj and for Hajj. Many people, unfortunately, have the means and they travel here, there, everywhere. But when it comes to Hajj, they'll say, "We'll do it later. We need more money for that." If you have the means, Hajj is farz, that should be the first journey. Why shouldn't it be the first journey that a person undertakes and goes for Hajj or Umrah, if it's possible? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi went for Hajj with his mother and brother Ahmed. Imam Bukhari was Muhammad and his brother was Ahmed. With their mother, they left for Hajj. After completing Hajj, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said to his mother and brother, "That you go back to Bukhara, I'm staying behind. You go back." There was no need for visas at that time. MashaAllah, no visa, no passport. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi stayed in Makkah, Medina for 6 years. For 6 years, he stayed there, he didn't go back. For 6 years, he stayed in Makkah, Medina. For the first two years, he remained in Makkah. At the age of 18, he went to Medina Munawwara. And there, MashaAllah, he wrote from amongst his books famous book قضايا الصحابة والتابعين. قضايا الصحابة والتابعين. In the same journey we just mentioned, he wrote and compiled التاريخ الكبير. التاريخ الكبير. Imam Bukhari رحمة الله عليه wrote التاريخ الكبير. In the moonlit nights, in the Rawda, Rawda Jannat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid. So he would sit, and when he would see that there's enough light from the moon, and it's a moonlit night, he would sit in the Rawda of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and write At-Tariq al-Kabir in the darkness of the nights. He traveled extensively. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi traveled to Basra, as we have mentioned, traveled to Kufa, he traveled to Baghdad many times. In Baghdad, he took hadith from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. He traveled to Sham, to Egypt. The final hadith of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is Jami' and Sahih al-Bukhari. We will study inshallah this afternoon. To be completed by Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum. The narrator and the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is Ahmad bin Ashkab. Ahmad bin Ashkab was Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's Shaykh in Misr. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, when he traveled to Misr, he took the hadith from Ahmad bin Ashkab rahmatullahi alayhi in Misr. Traveled extensively Al Jazeera, Marwa, Balkh. In Balkh, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi took hadith from Makki bin Ibrahim. Very important point I would like to mention here. In Balkh, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi took the ilm of hadith from Makki bin Ibrahim. Who is Makki bin Ibrahim? Makki bin Ibrahim rahmatullahi alayhi is the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and he is the student of Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Unfortunately, in today's day and age, we had a student who graduated from Madinah to Rome last year, and he met me yesterday, and he said to me that we used to hear from our ustads during Durus that certain people criticize Imam Azam Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. We used to hear that they even ridicule Imam Azam Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. We used to hear from our ustads ke Imam Azam Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi ko gaaliyan bhi bakte hai. Lekin mante nahi the. We couldn't believe. He had no doubt, but he said, I couldn't imagine why. And this, could this really happen? He says that it's been a year since I've graduated. I've been to many gatherings and many functions. And he's heard a few people giving talks. And unfortunately, in those majalis of ilm, supposedly, Majalis of Ilm, in Masajid, in Marakiz of Islam and Deen, they find nothing better but to swear, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, at-tabi'i, Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, who belonged to the Khairul Qurun. Do they not see that the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi are the teachers of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi? Can they not see this? Are they blind? And not only is Makki bin Ibrahim a teacher and a shaykh of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, the highest narration is in Bukhari, in Sahih al-Bukhari is the narration referred to as Thurafiyat, wherein between the narrator and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you have only three intermediaries, only three ravis. Your sheikh, and then a tabi'i Tabi'i and then a Sahabi. That's how close that narration is to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, there are 22 Sulafi riwayat. How many? 22 such riwayat. For amongst 22 Sulafi riwayat of Sahih al-Bukhari, 11 Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates from Waqid bin Ibrahim rahmatullahi alayhi. A direct student of Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Can people not see? Do they have eyes? Do they have a mind? Do they have ears? Or are they blind? We go further. This is this 11 from 22. Another 6 Sulafi riwayat of Sahih al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates from Abu Asim al-Nabil. Abu Asim al-Nabil, whose name was Dahaq bin Makhlad. Dahaq bin Makhlad. And again, Abu Asim al-Nabil is the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and he's a direct student of Imam al-Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Ajib. 11 plus 7, 11 plus 6 makes it 17. 17 narrations. We won't stop here, let's go further. 5 riwayat left. Another 3 narrations from the Sulafi riwayat of Sahih Bukhari are narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi for his Shaykh and Ustad Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Ansari. Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Ansari. And who is Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Ansari? He's a Shaykh of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, direct student of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Zafar rahmatullahi alayhi, who are the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. 20 Sulafi riwayat of Sahih Bukhari, and those Mashaykh of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in these 20 Sulafi riwayat are directly or indirectly the students of Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah guide them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to guide, Allah guides. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to misguide, then nobody can help. Nobody can give hidayat. Sulafi riwayat. Amazingly. The most Ali riwayat of Sahih al-Bukhari, 20 of them from the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi traveled from Balkh to Naishapur. There he narrated from Ishaq bin Rahway rahmatullahi alayhi, and famously Muhammad, Imam Muhammad bin Yahya al-Dhuhli, also the Shaykh of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Muhammad bin Yahya al-Dhuhli, if we have the opportunity, we'll mention the incident that took place when Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi came to Naishapur. Initially, Imam Muhammad bin Yahya al-Dhuhli would send his students to learn and take hadith and listen to hadith from Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Muhammad bin Yahya al-Dhuhli was the Shaykh. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was his student. But the Ustad would send his students to another of his students, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, go by him and benefit and take hadith from him. But when he saw that my status in the eyes of people is getting less, and the status of my student Imam Bukhari is becoming famous, then some misunderstandings took place. One such misunderstanding was when Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was asked regarding the masla of khalq al-Qur'an. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was asked whether Quran is Kalamullah, and if it's makhluq and if it's created or not. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi initially hesitated, remained quiet, ignored the person, not wanting to cause any ikhtilaf. But when the person insisted, then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi replied, and Inshallah, if we have the opportunity, we'll mention this just before we finish. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, during his journeys in search and in quest for knowledge, he traveled more or less to every single corner of the Islamic empire in those days, and he took hadith from 1,080 muhaddithin. From amongst those 1,080 muhaddithin, the shuyukh in Sahih al-Bukhari are 289, number 289. So 289 different mashayikh and shuyukh of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi are mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari from 1,080. He traveled, he made sacrifices, times came when he was in so much difficulty, he even had to sell his clothes. Times came when he had nothing to eat, he would eat leaves and grass. We can't imagine in our times. And they understood the reality of seeking knowledge and how correct it is when what has been said, La yunalu al-ilm birahatil jasad. La yunalu al-ilm birahatil jasad. Knowledge cannot be acquired through relaxing and through resting. Until we don't make a sacrifice, we will not be able to seek and acquire knowledge. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi would eat leaves, he would eat grass, and whenever he had the opportunity, he would suffice with bread and roti, just bread on itself. How can you eat bread? And for how long? Not for days or weeks, and not for months, for years. There came a time when Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi fell ill. And the students asked for some hukama and doctors, specialists. And like today, a urine sample was taken. And it was tested. The urine sample of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi was tested. And the results of that urine test was amazing. The doctors who tested Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's urine said ki ye peshab kisi nasrani rahib ka hoga. This urine looks like, most likely it is the urine of a Christian monk, because Christian monks would suffice with just roti, bread, nothing else. And then when they were told that no, it's not a Christian, it's a Muslim, and it's Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, people wouldn't believe it. He was advised by the hukama and the students and the doctors of the time that you shouldn't suffice with eating roti on itself. You must eat it with salam. You must take some curry, vegetable or meat or something, fish or anything. Don't eat roti by itself, or else your inside has been ruined and you're falling weak by the day, and the illness is inflicting you. You must change your diet. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi said, no, the most I will do is add a bit of sugar to my roti, so it becomes a bit easy for me to digest and take down. Similar narration you must have heard regarding Imam Baghawi rahmatullah alayhi, sahib al-masabih, when his sunnah, Imam Baghawi rahmatullah alayhi, when his students saw that our sheikh and our ustad is just eating roti on itself for years. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, how many years? For 40 years he lived on just roti. This is what made Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. Allah ta'ala hume kuch qurbani karne ki tawfiq de. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, students came to him and said, if you do not eat salam and something with roti, start you falling weak and illnesses are being inflicted upon you, you must change your diet. And doctors advised him, and he said, if you insist, then I will make a change to my diet. And what change did he make to his diet? Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, He kept the roti, the hard old rotis that he would gather over the days. What he would do was before he, this is the change to his diet. Huh? The same roti, the only change he made was he would dip it. He would dip the roti in a bit of olive oil and eat it. This was his salam. This is the change he made to his diet. And now we see why Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's Sahih Bukhari Sharif is so accepted. Now we see why Mishkat Sharif al-Masabi is so accepted, Mishkat al-Masabi. These are the reasons. For these reasons, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam al-Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam al-Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, student of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, once said to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Muslim saying to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, دَعِي أُقَبِّلُ رِجْلَيْكَ That means, أُقَبِّلُ رِجْلَيْكَ Let me kiss your feet. That means, أُقَبِّلُ رِجْلَيْكَ يَا أُسْتَاذَ الْأُسْتَاذِينَ وَيَا سَيِّدَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ وَيَا طَبِيبَ الْحَدِيثَ فِي عِلَلِهِ وَيَا طَبِيبَ الْحَدِيثَ فِي عِلَلِهِ يَا أُسْتَاذَ الْأُسْتَاذِينَ وَسَيِّدَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ وَطَبِيبَ الْحَدِيثَ فِي عِلَلِهِ Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi status was great. We just mentioned the narrator, one of the narrators of Sahih Bukhari, Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firadri rahmatullahi alayhi. He once, in a dream, saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, أَيْنَ تُرِيدْ أَيْنَ تُرِيدْ Where are you going? He asked who? Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firadri, the student of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. أَيْنَ تُرِيدْ And Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firadri rahmatullahi alayhi replied, أريد محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري أريد محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري I am going and I am traveling to take the knowledge of hadith in the hadith from Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Imam Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Firabri rahmatullahi alayhi that when you meet Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi اقرأه مني السلام give my salams to him give my salams to him this was the martaba of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, what can be said about him? We've got so much to mention about his kitab, maybe today or another opportunity. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was a great zahid and abid as well. Unfortunately, today, in today's day and age, people, they do not know anything about Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, they may not even know his name, and it's likely that they may not even know the name of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's kitab. All they say is Sahih Bukhari. The ulama have actually mentioned that zai hone se bachane ke liye ummat ko Bukhari Sharif ka pura naam sikhao. Muhaddithin have written this in their kitabs. Don't just say Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari. Or else the real name of the book people will forget. Al-Jami, Al-Musnad, Al-Sahih, Al-Mukhtasar. Al-Jami, Al-Musnad, Al-Sahih, المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه. Teach people this name. The محدثين have said. As I was saying, go back to the point which I just started. People just refer to the hadith of Bukhari. Why? مخالف پر حجت قائم کرنے کے لیے جگہ کرنے کے لیے That's Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Who was Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi? What is the maqama and the status of his kitab? What is his own status in the eyes of Allah? We've just seen in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his name is being used. His name is being used. And misused. And disrespected. When you see people saying Bukhari, Bukhari, Bukhari. What Bukhari? Say Sayyid al-Muhaddithin. Imam al-Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi sayyid, Ya Ustad al-Ustadheen, Ya Sayyid al-Muhaddithin. And he say, Bukhari. Tajjub hai. Bukhari. Bukhari has mentioned this. Bukhari, who is Bukhari? Our student, our child. Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. I told our students in the beginning of the year, when you read the Sanad, of other kitabs, وَمِسَّنَدِ الْمُتَّسِلِ مِنَّا إِلَى الْإِمَامِ الْمُصَنِّفِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى
when we read the sanad of Sahih Bukhari, or the sanad al-muttasil minna ila amir al-mu'minin fi al-hadith. This was his laqab, and this is what we should use. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was a great zahid and abid. Unfortunately, we don't see the seerah of this great imam. We use his name and his book to argue and to put ikhtilaf and intishar between the ummah. But we don't have the time to study his life and follow his footsteps. Hazrat Imam Abdul Hayy al-Khnawi rahmatullahi alayhi has written a kitab in Arabic, إقامة الحجة على أن الإكثار في التعبد ليس ببدعة. إقامة الحجة على أن الإكثار في التعبد ليس ببدعة. Certain people, without mentioning their title, they say that too much ibadat is bidat. Too much ibadat is bidat. Don't read too much Quran. You don't have to read namaz all night. You don't have to do too much ibadat. कुछ भी ना करो, खुद भी नहीं करते, दूसरों को करने नहीं देते, अरे कोई कुछ भी ना, unfortunately, حضرت لقبی رحمت اللہ علیہ حضرت نے اس کتاب اقامت الحجہ على ان الاکثار في التعبد ليس بدعة. And I will just end with this quote. With regard to Imam Bukhari رحمت اللہ علیہ's عبادت. And before that, Ramadan is coming. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do qadr of Ramadan. Appreciate Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, I mean, like our mashayikh are always criticized, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi has been criticized through his fazail amal. And Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi had the ma'mur of reciting 40 ajza, 40 juz of the Quran every day in Ramadan. Every day, 40 juz, one Quran and 10 juz. And sometimes I used to think, why 40? Why 40? And where did Imam Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, take this habit from? How did he make this habit? Why not 30 or 35 or 45 or 50? Why 40? The answer is mentioned by Tajuddin al-Sukti rahmatullahi alayhi الطبقات الشافعية. In الطبقات الشافعية, Taj al-Din al-Sukki rahmatullahi alayhi says that Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi also mentioned by Hafiz al-Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi in Hadith al-Sari as well, that Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi in Ramadan throughout the day would recite one full Quran and do khatam at the time of iftar and then another 10 juz in tahajjud. That makes it 40. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi took his ma'mur from the life of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. It's easy to just say Bukhari and Sahih Bukhari and narrate a hadith from Bukhari to cause ikhtilaf between the ummah, but we need to change our ways and follow the life of this great Imam, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, whose kitab will be completed. Look at our mashayikh, as a Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, ittiba Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Not only did he compile the sharah and did so much khidmat on Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi sahih, but in his private life he followed Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi step by step. 40 juz Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi would recite in Ramadan daily. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi would also recite 40 juz daily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.